These past few weeks, we've been connecting important spiritual truths with the flags used in racing. This morning, we come to the white flag. The white flag is waved when there's one lap left in the race. It means the race is almost over, but the outcome has not yet been decided. What better image for Palm Sunday? Jesus has entered the final lap in the final week of his life. It is his final lap, but the outcome has not yet been decided. Well, what else does a white flag stand for? Anyone?
Surrender.
That's it. Surrender. Surrender. When we wave a white flag, we surrender. Waving a white flag sounds like losing, but not to God. God absolutely loves it when we wave a white flag to him. When we wave that white flag and coming out of defeat, God gives victory out of defeat, hope out of despair, resurrection. But I got a little bit ahead of myself. But now there's someone who has a story, and his life is like a white flag. Do you want to hear it? Oh, that was so puny. Choir, do you want to hear it?
Yes.
Yes, that's better. Congregation, do you want to hear it?
Yes.
Okay, then, I'll tell it to you. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with Jesus to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what we deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth. Today,
You will be with me in paradise. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, look, we got that. I think I'll take it from here, okay? Look, okay. After all, I'm the one who's in the story. I think I got this. Yeah, like she was saying, I'm him, you know? I'm that guy who did that thing. Yeah, you know, you could say I was Jesus' right-hand man. Yeah, you get it? When he was crucified, I was on his right hand. Ah, gee whittakers, this is going to be a long morning. Look, I get it. You know, this is all kind of weird. Like the guy who was crucified next to Jesus is back here talking to you today. I understand that. I can't explain it, you know? It's just something the boss makes possible. Every now and then, he sends me down here to tell my story, okay? I mean, do you think I really want to be looking like this today? Yeah. You know, this is the boss's idea. He's really big on what is it he says? He says, you know, if I look like this, it'll make me identifiable. He's big on identifying with people. So it's his idea. If I look like this, you're going to somehow identify with me. Only I don't see none of yous looking like this right now. Yeah, I think somebody's having a pretty good laugh about that right now. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, don't matter. That don't matter. You know, What it gives me the chance to do is to know a lot more about you than you know about my world. Yeah. For instance, we've been watching your services on the internet. Yeah, we get wireless up there now. And we've been listening to your pastor, which, by the way, where did you get him from? He's been talking about these flags in racing, you know? We're listening to that thinking, what's he talking about? I mean, where I come from, we have real racing, chariot racing. Yeah, you don't throw no yellow flag if there's debris on the track. You throw debris on the track. That's why you go to a race is to see a crash. And a black flag, give me a break. Forget about it. Yeah. You don't break rules in chariot racing. There ain't no rules. Yeah, we would give out black flags as a trophy. So I get it. This is kind of weird. But you know, you people, you ain't so normal yourselves. Yeah, we've been watching some of your shows. You know, you guys are like obsessed with dead people. You ever thought about that? Yeah, one of your shows on TV is about these guys who go around hunting ghosts. Yeah, they try to talk to them. It's called Ghost Whisperers. Now, if that ain't weird, tell me something who is. Yeah. All these movies you got, that really gets me. Dawn of the Dead, Night of the Living Dead. You even got this one where the little boy's walking around going, I see dead people. Yeah, you got a television show now called The Walking Dead. You've even got some people still following the Grateful Dead, and some of them guys has been dead for years. So you want to tell me I'm weird? You be the judge. Yeah, look, all I'm saying is it shouldn't be so strange that a dead guy's talking to you, okay? Because you see dead people all the time. Yeah, think about it. You know, just because you're living and breathing doesn't mean you ain't dead. You can be dead in here. You ever see people like that? They look like they're alive, but inside, nah, they're dead. You know what I'm talking about? You people are killing me here today, huh? You get it? You're killing a dead guy? Yeah? You sure you send me to the right address? Look, there's a kind of living that can't die. You know, there's a kind of being alive that nothing can stop it, not even death. And somebody made me alive that way. One day I found that kind of life. Yeah, before that, I was dead. Now, how could that be? Because I didn't have nothing to live for. And you know, if you ain't got nothing to live for, you're already dead. See, when I was a teenager, I decided I couldn't live at home no more. I had this father who, you know, he had a simple rule in his house. His rule was, if you live under my roof, you obey my rules. Many of you have a father like that? Yeah, but this father, I mean, he had some pretty strict rules. And to make it worse, I had this brother. Oh, my goodness. I mean, he thought he was perfect. Never did anything wrong. I mean, imagine Moses and King David got together and, like, had a baby. That would be my brother. And if I ever did anything wrong, he made sure my father knew about it. And my father had a way of making sure you understood when you broke some rules. You know what I'm talking about? So one day I just took off. I didn't care where I went. I was going anywhere. And you know what's kind of funny? When anywhere is your destination, it's amazing how quick you get there. So I end up in this little gang of guys, and they teach me how to steal. I mean, that's what they do. They rob people. And at first, I mean, I knew it was wrong. But you know what I came to find out? You do something bad 3 times, and it ain't bad no more. Yeah, it's just what you do. So I get caught up in this group, but you know what? For the first time, I felt like I had some guys who could identify with me. They understood me. And we stuck together. We looked out for one another. We was like a little family. Until two of us got caught. And then they wasn't there no more. We took this purse off a woman one day. And we thought we were fine. So all of a sudden, we were surrounded by soldiers who started beating us. The next thing we know, we're in prison, about to be crucified. And they take us out, and they nail us to these two crosses. Now, I'll spare you those details, but let me tell you what. That's excruciating. So we're hanging there on these crosses. And then they bring this third guy out. Except this guy has like a whole crowd with him. And all of them are yelling. They're spitting at him. They're calling him names. They want him dead. And I thought, boy, if they want him dead that bad, he must have done something really bad. So they get right up to us, and I hear the soldiers say, now where are we going to put him? And then the religious leaders chime in. Don't get me started with those guys. And they say, put him between the thieves. That way people will know the truth about his life. Now this doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. All of these people are wanting him dead that bad, but they've got to put him between two thieves so they know what he did wrong. So they put him on a cross between us. Now I don't know why, but I look over at him. I guess you could say that when you're about to die, you want to know who's going to die next to you. So I look at him and I realize, I know this guy. He's a rabbi. He's some rabbi from this little town. And about a year before, I heard him teaching one day. Had this crowd coming to hear him. That was like a field day for me. I could come into a crowd like that and brush up against people, and before they knew it, I had the purses. My hands were so full, I couldn't hold it all. And then I hear him say these words. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life, abundant life. And I look up, and he's looking right at me. And I'm standing there wondering, how did he find out? How does he know? There's no way he could have seen us. We're too good for that. But somehow he knew, and I'm waiting for him to call the soldiers, but he never does. So I start slipping away, like, real quiet. And before I left, I heard him start telling a story. He tells a story about a father who had two sons. And one of the sons, he's the good one. He stays home. He does everything the father wants. He obeys all the rules. But this other one, yeah, he was a handful. He got away from home as quick as he could. He took his father's money and spent it and wasted it until he had nothing. And it got so bad, one day he realized he'd got nothing to live for. But this thought comes to this son. He thinks, well, maybe I should go home and go back to my father's house. I'll never be a son again. I mean, I know that's not possible. But maybe, just maybe, I could be like a servant in my father's house. So he gets up and he goes home. And you know what he finds? He finds his dad waiting for him. And his dad wraps his arms around his boy, and he kisses him. He puts the family ring on his finger. You know what that means? He made him a son again. And I'm wondering, how does he know about me? How does he know that's my story? And I'm standing there thinking that day. I'd give anything if I could go home. I'd give anything if I could be a son again. But I know that ain't possible. It's too late for that. So I just kept walking. And one day I find myself on a cross, and I'm next to that rabbi. And the people, they're yelling and spitting at him. They're saying, if you're the Son of God, then come down from that cross. And then my buddy starts chiming in. He says, yeah, if you're that guy, get down and get us down too. And he starts cussing. I said, look, man, you know, you and me, we deserve to be here. We earned our place here. This guy, no. No, not him. Here's an observation. When you're on a cross, you ain't got no options anymore, you know? You can't move. You can't even scratch your head. And the reason people get on crosses is because they choose to. Yeah. I mean, even this guy. He didn't have to be there, but he chose to be there. You know, a cross, it's kind of like all the decisions in your life that put you in a place that take away your options. It sort of reveals that to the whole world. That's what a cross is. And when people get in that kind of position, they react in different ways. When they get to that place where they've got no options anymore, and it's because of their own doing, sometimes they act like my buddy. They just go out of this world cussing, mad, angry, blaming other people for their problems, blaming other things for everything that's gone wrong in their lives. And then there's this rabbi. I mean, if anybody had a right to be mad, it's this guy, right? If anybody had a right to cuss and blame people, it's this guy, but he doesn't do that. You know what he does? He looks to heaven and he starts praying. He said, Father, forgive them, but they don't know what they're doing. Now, how does somebody pray that way, huh? You tell me. How does somebody think that way when they've been treated bad? That's when I realize he is who he says he is. And so that leaves my cross. You know what my cross means? My cross means I wish I wasn't there. My cross means I could look over my life and I could see that I didn't want the things that happened to me. I deserved it, but I didn't want the things I deserve. But all of a sudden, hanging on that cross, this thought comes to me. This thought that says, you can change your future. Now, I know I didn't have much of a future, did I? I bet I only had a few minutes left, but this thought comes into my head. I can still change the way I face that cross. I can still change the way I face that future. That is my choice. So I look over at that rabbi. And I said, remember me when you come into your kingdom? He says to me, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, I don't know how I know this. And maybe he said it because he knew I knew this. But that word paradise, it's a Persian word. It means walled garden. You know that word garden? like trees and bushes and shrubs, you know, a garden. Yeah. In Persia, a king would honor somebody by asking that person to be his special guest in his private garden. That person would be the king's companion, a friend of the king. I knew what he was saying to me that day. He was saying to me, "You're worthy to be my friend. You're worthy to be my companion." It changed that moment for me. It didn't change what happened to me, but it changed how I faced what happened to me. Oh, I wish he'd have told me that about 2 years before. That would have been nice, right? Somebody says, you know, well, if he really was who he says he was, why didn't he like catch you early enough so you didn't have to end up in that place? Oh, you know what? You don't understand this yet because you're not where I am. But regret, that's something you feel only in this world. Yeah, when you get on the other side, you don't feel regret no more. No, you see, you just celebrate what you have right now. See, he said to me, today, I mean, that's what heaven is, right? Heaven is like one great big today, just lasts forever. Where each moment, you can discover God's possibilities. Today. So I look over at this guy. All of a sudden, I realize he's identifying with me. He's willing to get up on a cross and die as a criminal to identify with me. See, God will do whatever it takes to identify with us and let you and me know he wants our companionship today. You know, maybe there's something in your life that you wish was different. Don't hold on to regret. Hold on to today. Go to that person. You can't change how they're gonna feel, but you can change how you feel. You can let that person know how much you love them, how much you care about them. Don't go out of this world wishing you'd have been more faithful, wishing you'd have lived differently. Today, it can be different. Today, right now, it can change. Yeah. Maybe there's other things. You say, you know, surely God's given up on me by now. It's too late. It ain't never too late. He said today. Yeah.
I'm giving you my heart and all that is within. I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dreams. I'm laying down my rights. I'm giving up my pride for the promise of new life.
I have this habit of waiting until the last minute to do things. So one day we're getting ready and I'm waiting till the last minute, and my wife says to me, "Dave, just because it only takes you 10 minutes to get ready doesn't mean you need to wait until the last 10 minutes. We don't have to wait until the last 10 minutes. We can do it today. The only difference between those thieves upon the cross is that one remained angry, spiteful, held on to his anger. The other recognized Jesus' sovereignty, and he surrendered. Now, I don't know what you came into worship with this day, that you might have been struggling with. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a conviction, a struggle at work. Maybe it's just a confusion in your heart. But what would it look like today to surrender, to wave the white flag to God and say, God, this is yours? There's a white piece of paper in your bulletin. What I want you to do as Fran continues to lead us in worship is take out that white piece of paper, write today's date, April 13th, 2014. Today, I surrender. And you don't have to fill out the object, the rest of that sentence. That can be between you and God, but what is it? So maybe God is calling you to release into his hands. It might be your heart, your life. What would it look like to surrender today?
I'm singing you this song, I'm waiting at the cross, and all the world holds dear, I count it all as loss, for the sake of knowing you, the glory of your name, to know the lasting joy, even sharing in your pain. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. Lord, I surrender all to you, all to you. Oh, I surrender all to you, all to you, all to you.
Why don't you take that piece of paper and just hold it to your heart. Pray with me. God, I don't know what is represented in these pieces of paper. What relationships, or fears, or struggles. But I know, God, it's hard to surrender. I mean, our desire, God, is just to hold on so tightly, to control the outcome. But God, we trust you. We trust that you are big enough for us to release this into your hands. So we choose this day to surrender our lives. And we trust you, God, to work out the rest through your grace, through your Son. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.